caused hysterical headlines in newspapers, and almost killed one of our presenters. We also argued, bickered, made mistakes, and had a lot of fun. This book tries to give a little insight into the deranged rollercoaster ride of the crappy BBC Two motoring show that became, according to Guinness World Records, the planet's most watched factual programme. Quite an achievement for a show that didn't have any facts in it. This isn't an exhaustive history of Top Gear, because I don't know anything about camera lenses, I can't remember the name of that song that was used as background in the sequence everyone likes, and it escapes me for now why we never featured the Ferrari 458 Speciale. On the other hand, I do remember who suggested we call our in-house racing driver the Stig. I can recall the time I had a furious argument with Jeremy and then got trapped behind a naan bread. And I know which member of the team came up with the inspired yet idiotic idea for us to get a dog. So if you want that sort of thing, listen on. If not, don't worry. There's probably a repeat of Top Gear on the telly.
One. Old Top Gear. If you're very young or not interested in cars, or you were sentenced to 28 years inside a Dutch prison back in 1974, you may not realise that Top Gear wasn't always a programme about three silly men arguing and falling over. Once upon a time, Top Gear was a sensible, magazine-style show in which fuel economy was assessed and classic traction engines were driven and almost nothing caught on fire. When it started, in the late 70s, it was presented by prim news doyen Angela Rippon, shortly to be joined by beardy box-opening enthusiast Noel Edmonds. This is a useful thing to know if you're ever in a pub quiz and the question comes up, who first presented Top Gear? Don't be tempted to shout out Richard Hammond. That would be wrong. Also, it's bad form to shout out stuff at pub quizzes. Originally, Top Gear was broadcast only in the Birmingham region, before it was promoted to national status and became a mainstay of the BBC Two schedule. Then Rippon went back to the news, Edmonds wandered off to have his late breakfast, and the show settled into a steady rhythm of sensibleness under the reliable watch of solid, authoritative presenters, most notably William Woolard and Chris Goffey. Woolard was the raffishly haired one who would loft a foot onto a car's bumper and stand there, delivering information like an especially learned catalogue model. Goffey was the bearded one, who sported chunky jumpers and seemed like the sort of solid chap who'd lend you his lawnmower, though woe betide you if you returned it in less than perfect order. There were other presenters, of course, among them Aquiline Frank Page and Dad's favourite Sue Baker. But Woolard and Goffey were the figureheads, placing their hands firmly upon the wheel and carefully checking their mirrors before pulling off into another long and informative piece to camera. As a kid in the 1980s, I loved Top Gear. It was varied and unashamedly a bit nerdy. Also, in a world before the internet, it told me things I hadn't heard before. Plus, it was about cars, and I liked cars a lot. Even today, hearing William Woolard solemnly intone his "Drive safely and good night" sign-off gives me a little thrill, as seven-year-old me thinks, "Oh good, that's the sound of Top Gear." And then a little sadness, as seven-year-old me thinks, "Oh, bollocks, that's the end of Top Gear for another week." That was the programme throughout the 80s. Serious, sensible, and required viewing for a car-obsessed child. In the 90s, however, things changed. Woolard and Goffey were quietly shuffled off, and in their place came a roster of exciting new presenters. There was racing driver Tiff Needell, who drifted like a demon and spoke like something with teeth had got into his trousers. There was urbane car trader Quentin Wilson, who had a nice line in silken metaphors and a wry smile which said, "See me after the show and I'll sell you this car at an excellent price." There was coquettish siren Vicky Butler Henderson, husky of voice and deft of steering, and there was a well-spoken chap with an alarming afro who had the wit and brilliance to change car television forever. His name was Kingsley Flistwipe, and unfortunately he was killed in a blimp accident just before his first Top Gear shoot, which is when they hired a short-notice replacement called Jeremy Clarkson. I might have dreamt this last bit.